Great and brave. No. Don't move out of this, but I'm going to try to explain what's happening. So there's a word called the kabod of God. It's the weighty glory of who He is. And when we worship Him in spirit and in truth, when we're desirous of His presence, when He is the main thing, that we get, and then we get uncomfortable, because either you're uncomfortable because nothing different is happening and you're not used to it being this way, or it's silent and you don't know how to continue and you're wondering why things aren't being said. But this is an opportunity time. This is an invitation time. This is when when the Lord Himself is making Himself real to you. He's trying to get you to the point of saturation. And saturation means to fill completely with something that permeates and pervades. When you start talking about Him, when we start lifting up His name, when there is worship that is truly felt and coming from the inside, it starts permeating your inner being. It starts invading, and then we feel relief and we stop. We often stop. But when, if Jesus was physically seen in the room, then you wouldn't want to stop. You would want to get everything that you could obtain from Him in His presence, because you'd recognize the value of Him. He's drawing. It's not praise. It's worship today. It's worshiping the one who deserves our worship. It's entering into His presence with being in awe of an awesome God and what He's done for us. It's acknowledging that no one else could do what He's done. But He did it, and it's personal. It's so personal. And that's why He desires not just the congregation's prayer, not just the congregation's worship. He wants you personally to acknowledge Him back. You know, most of what the kingdom is about you working through your uncomfortableness on purpose. if it's not something you're used to, if it's not something that's comfortable for you, that's okay. Because there's nothing purer than His presence. There's nothing better than His love. There's nothing that can change your circumstances like an encounter with Him. There's nothing like having your heart up against His, your emotional realm being overwhelmed by the goodness of our God. Until everything else fades away and nothing else seems to really matter, because you're no longer so aware of how you feel or your surroundings, but you are more aware of Him surrounding you with songs of deliverance. You're more aware of Him and His voice. You're more aware of who He is and what He's done. You're more aware of the ability that only He has to turn your hearts and attention and affection towards Him so that He can make Himself real, so that He can move through you, so that you find your purpose, so that you walk in destiny, so that you find fulfillment in His arms. Oh, there is nothing like that. The world can't offer that. forget about everything else. Just focus back on Him. Just focus on Him and let him reveal Himself to you today. Just get to that saturation place. He's offering it to you right now.
Servant of all. What Unlimited resources. He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts. As you trust in Him, your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever ask or even think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever. All glory to God. 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 Oh. Oh, glory to God. All glory to God.
all like to hear what the prophets have to say, and I don't know, people are a little bit prophet crazy right now, because all the prophets are not in agreement. But I know that if we study the prophets of the Bible, they their words are still true, because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write every word. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, then you've heard someone say that it's by His stripes that we're healed. We talk about it. We talk about the cross. We have one in our everywhere. Because the cross is the symbol of the sacrifice. But Isaiah was a prophet. And he prophesied this. And he prophesied about our faithful Jesus in advance. He said this in Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected of man. A man of sorrows. Sorrows means affliction and pain. Affliction and pain. He was a man that was afflicted and full of pain. He was acquainted with grief. That means that he was acquainted with anxiety. Jesus. Calamity, disease, anguish, and sickness. Isaiah is letting us in on something here. He's prophesying the future. And Jesus knows this is about him. And then it says, we hid our faces from him. As he was despised and we esteemed him not. It means that we didn't put any value on him. The same Jesus that Isaiah is talking about is the Jesus that came. The same people he's talking about are the people who still do not esteem him right. Even though he came and did everything for us. Verse 4 said, surely he has taken away our grief. If you are grieved about something, if you have grief about something, if you are sorrowful about anything, he took it away. That's what he came to do. He came to do all of this. We esteemed him stricken and smitten of God, beaten by God. We figured God did it. God did it to his son, and he did. But it also means that it was self-afflicted, because Jesus knew what was going to happen and he did it on purpose for us. He was afflicted by his father because his father was paying the price for our coming back into oneness with him. But Jesus was self-afflicted because he was surrendering to this process for our benefit. I mean, what kind of savior is that? What king gives his life like that? He was wounded for our transgression. That means our rebellion and our sins. We always think it was sins, but it's even in our rebellious state. Isaiah was prophesying he was going to do this. He was bruised for our iniquities, which means our moral sins. Not, however degraded that people can be in their lives, he was already predisposed and surrender to his Father so that he could clean us up in every way. Wipe it all away. Never count it against us again. The chastisement or correction of our peace was upon him. It meant that he took all of that so that we could have health and prosperity and peace and rest and welfare and wholeness. And with his stripes, we always say we were made whole, but it means more than that. It means by his stripes we were mended and made whole. It means that all through our life, whenever we're broken, whenever we're hurt, whenever there's anything that has come against us by the enemy, oh no, his stripes took care of it. He did it so that we could walk in the fullness of his provision in everything in our life. He knew, Jesus was well aware of the price he was going to have to pay. And he knew he'd have to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. The power that he was willing to release to us. If we ponder that, if we think on that, if we take that in and we consider all of this, how can we not love him back with all of our hearts? Lamentations says, 22:26, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. It never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, this is how you got to get up in the morning. The Lord, great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for you. I will wait for you. See, this is what we were practicing this morning. He comes. And then we go, oh, there he is. And then we move on. But we wait for him until he comes. And then we enjoy him. Then we enjoin ourselves to him. Then we become aware of what he's really done, because revelation begins to happen, and you sit and you ponder on him and you think about what it was really like. You think about how great heaven must have been and how hard it had to be for him to walk away and say, I'll go because I love them. And love is what hung him on the tree. Love is what keeps him moving in our lives. Love is his compassion keeps compelling us back into his presence. He keeps wooing us, calling our name. When you are in the worst state of mind, he's still there. He's still there. Still available, still loving, still kind, still compassionate, still unshakable. It says the Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him, to the one who doesn't give up. Oh, do you always feel him? No, but eventually you will if you just don't stop. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. In your waiting, salvation is coming nearer you. In your waiting, every promise that he brought to pass becomes more real to you. This is why we must read. Because when we read the Bible, then as we sit in his presence, then he starts throwing reminders in you. Then he starts reminding you of what he's already said concerning you, concerning others. How do you stand for your family if you don't know what he said about your family? How do you stand for your healing when you don't know what he did for your healing? How do you live righteously with not knowing what he said, how to do it? How do you persevere through the trouble knowing that he's always there even when you don't feel him, unless you know that he promised, I am always there. I'm never leaving, never leaving, never leaving. He is so entwined with you. If you know him, you can't make him unstick. That's the only way you can be unshakable in your confidence. Well, is God real? Well, just give him your affection and you'll find out. If we are longing for a healed body, if we're sick and we're just longing for a healed body, all we have to do is sit at his feet and ponder him. Recall what he's done in the past. Think about how many people, well, even yourself, how many times has he touched you and made you whole over and over again? How many miracle stories have you heard? How many have you seen? What impacts your life is the reality of who he is. Benny Hinn is just a man called Benny Hinn. Catherine Coleman is just a woman called Catherine Coleman. Oral Roberts was just a man called Oral Roberts. But guess what? They knew something. They knew that if they took the time to sit at his feet and to think about him and to build relationship with him, to enjoy his company, that they would become such a part of him that they wouldn't worry about whether or not they could lay hands on somebody and they could recover. Because they knew that it wasn't them anyway. None of us can do anything. We are incapable. How many of you can heal somebody on your own? No one. Oh, but if you know the healer, if you know what his word says, if his word comes alive to you and he says you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, and you do it, then you begin to know him, and the passion of his heart is to bring the Father's will to earth so that they will fall in love with him. Sinners and saints alike falling in love with Jesus because you're in love with Jesus because you sat quietly for his salvation. There is a movement of the Spirit right now. God is doing something that is beyond people. He is calling his church into this type of relationship with him on purpose because he said this. He said, I'm coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. I feel sorry for God most of the time. I'm like, wow, we're so spotted. And we're so wrinkled. We are a mess. I don't know how you're ever coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. But you know what? When we are hungry for him and we're sitting with him, he doesn't see our spots. He doesn't see our wrinkles. He sees us as his child. And he sees us purified by his blood, by what he has provided. He's not looking at you, trying to figure out what in the world he's going to do for you to straighten you out. He has already straightened out everything that concerns your life. And now he has an opportunity to pour enough love on you that you cannot resist it. If you wait for his salvation, it will come. When we are thankful, just thankful, we start praising him in his holiness and in the splendor of who he is. If you have never sat until you are breathless, like totally wasted away because all you are concentrating on is the wonder of him and how could he do this for me? So undeserving, so very messed up in every way. And then you begin to realize the greatness of him for your sake. And then there is this love relationship that continues to happen. And you know what happens if you really love somebody and someone says something bad about them? You're like, well, that's not true. You don't know them. I know them. You must not know their character. If you know their character, you couldn't say that about them. I know them from the inside out. I can tell you, I can change your mind about that person right now because I'm going to tell you all the good things about them. And I just rehearse them. I've done this on many occasions. And people change their mind about how they think. Well, that is what is happening when we praise them in holiness, when we praise them in their splendor, when we're thinking about them, we are thinking about what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has provided, and we become so overwhelmed with the greatness of who they are that we begin to live in that awareness of them no matter where we are and wherever we are. We just want everyone to know him. We just want his name to be known on the earth. We just want his presence to invade their darkness. We're not moved by their darkness. We're moved by his presence. There's no room for judgment. There's only room for acceptance. There's only room to move in the goodness of who he is, to try to impart it with all that you are. If we just stay, it's hard in life. There's challenges. There's even mountains that we have to face sometimes. He didn't promise there wouldn't be tribulation. He just said he's overcome them. He's overcome it. So you look at the mountain and you cast it into the sea, not because you're great, but because you're confident of who is with you. How can we not love the one who loved us the most in the first? He loved us first. He doesn't even say you have to love me and then I'll love you back. He never made that pressurized. He invites you into his love. He invites you into his love. And there is it's a washing machine experience. I remember going to a service one night, and you know, there's manifestations of the Spirit you just can't explain, and you know, you just go with it if you know it's God. That's all I'm saying. So I was staying there, I don't know, I think it was during worship. I don't even think anybody even preached yet. And all of a sudden, my body just kept going like this. And I'm like, well, this is different. And the Lord says, this is the washing machine. This is just the washing machine. I'm just shaking everything off. I'm just cleaning everything up. Isn't that what you want? I'm like, yes. So I don't know. I think I did it the whole thing during worship. I'm like, I didn't know I was that dirty, but thank God I'm clean, right? So just go with it. What do you care what somebody else thinks? I care what he thinks. I don't care what it feels like. I care what he is doing for me. We live in this so fake reality. We are not of this world. I don't know how to get you to understand it. This world is just a place we're passing through to affect other people's lives with him. We don't live here. We have a place, a positional authority that we are releasing on the earth on purpose so that his name is glorified. So that his name is glorified. We are not here. Okay, we are not here to have fun. We can have fun. But we are not here to just have fun. But there is a fun to be had in God that nothing else could even touch. The joy of knowing him, it supersedes anything you've ever experienced before. And so, when you stare into the eyes of the beloved, something happens. You say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. If I can, you can. He said, there's no respecters of persons. Well, have you looked into his eyes? Well, in my spirit, I've looked into his eyes. I mean, did I see him standing in front of him and look into his eyes? No, but I have sat in his presence until his eyes and my gaze was on him and his gaze was on me so much that you could never convince me that I did not gaze upon the one I love. My soul has found the one I love. Satan can't take that away from me. People can't take that away from me. Only I can give it away. When we refuse to leave his presence, you see, we're so instant people. We want McDonald's fries right now. But when we go to him and we sit in his presence, it sometimes takes time. Sometimes you have to be determined to sit and to stay and to wait upon him. Well, I don't have that much time in your day. You don't have enough time to not do that in your day. The same way he multiplies your money when you give to the kingdom, he will multiply your time when you seed to his presence. Here's how to be productive. Everybody wants to be productive. Well, maybe some people don't want to be productive because you forgot that you always were meant to be productive. But if you don't think you're productive, God wants you to be productive. And the only way you can be productive is to sit with him and have him infuse you with his wisdom and his glory. You know, it works even in the business world. I don't know what to do. Well, did you put him in the center? Did you stare into his eyes? Did you wait until he spoke to you? Did you find out what he was saying about it? Are we living with Jesus? Are we living with him? Or are we just visiting him on Sundays? He is our source of life for everything that concerns us. And he's sitting there every minute of every day with every person that will call on his name. Waiting. He's waiting. So if we understand that he is Adonai, he's the Lord. If we understand that he is Elohim, he is the great I am. He is the great I am. If you understand that he is El Shaddai, he is more than enough. He can meet every one of your needs more than you can meet your own needs. We have to stop doing everything in our own strength because we fall short, but he never does. He's all-consuming and all-powerful. We should be like living our lives so loud that we are shouting for him all of the time. That people know who we stand with, not just who we stand for. Many times we want to, I'll just say it this way. We want to bully people into serving Jesus. As if that would ever work. You cannot bully people into Jesus because Jesus doesn't have that nature. Did he bully you into loving him? No. He won't do it to not one. Not to one. Because he loves people into knowing him. It's a love of God that calls people to repentance. Love. Well, what is love like? Well, instead of me quoting 1 Corinthians 13, his name is Jesus. He contains all of that. If you want to act like all of that, you just need more Jesus. That's all. So, he is Emmanuel. It means God with us. He's. I don't know what else. How could we resist such a salvation? He's worthy forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. He's worthy of our time, our affection, and everything we are. So, oh, dear Lord. I want to say this one thing. Okay. When Jesus came, he came for several things, but one of the things he came to do was to defeat the power of Satan. How many of you are glad about that? And how many of you know he won? All right, but he also came to show us the kingdom of God and what it looks like so that we could operate in it. And so it says in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Now why did he write it like that? Because it's not what you eat and drink in the natural. This is not about the kingdom. Has nothing to do with what feeds you in the natural senses. Not the kingdom of God. I mean, you need to eat and drink in the natural. But in the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy. It's Righteousness. It. You know what righteousness is? It's character and actions. Character and actions. The kingdom looks like you having character and taking action. This is why Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Because he came and he took action. His character beat the devil hands down. He said, I saw him fall as lightning to the ground. Jesus was never worried about Satan's defeat. He already saw him defeated. What he was worried about is us knowing he's defeated. You see? He wants us to know the character of God and the actions that we're supposed to take, because they're the same actions that he took. Peace is, the kingdom is made up of peace. It's made up of us joining with him as one. That's what peace is. Joining with him as one. If you are one with him and you're aware of it, you can't be taken out of peace. Well, I feel agitated. Well, get more Jesus. I know it sounds like a cliche, but I'm telling you, just go be with Jesus. And joy. Joy is gladness and cheerfulness. I mean, the kingdom is made up of righteousness, peace, and joy. We're supposed to be happy ducks. Happy dogs. happy dogs. I do have the clip. For real. So how do we live our life when we know the Lord and him and everything that he has done for us? How are we displaying him? How do we look? How do we act? How do we think? How do we get the point across? What do we do that's different than the next person? It is not discovering like what your gift is that God has given you as much as discovering the gift that he is living with inside of you. Well, what's my purpose? Well, what's my destiny? I don't know. Loving him. Just love him. Just fall in love with Jesus. The more you know him, the more you love him. The more you are around him, the more you want to be around him. Until you love him so much that if someone tries to step in between you and him, you just push them away. And then you center yourself on him, and then you go, I know what you're looking for. You're looking for the Father. Let me introduce you. Don't get angry at people or circumstances. Just love them to life. But protect your relationship with God. There's a protection that you have to live in. Like, I don't know. All the people that I know that have done exploits in the name of the Lord were those that sat and waited upon him. Yes, we're in the process of trusting him. We have to trust him more. But guess what? He's in the process of trusting us. Can he trust you with his word? Can he trust you with his love? Can he trust you with his kindness? Or are you only kind to the people you want to be kind to? Can he trust you with compassion to reach the unreachable? Can he trust you with healing? Well, he said he would. He fills you up to the overflow. That's what he does. And then we have to step out in it. So I feel like today, there's so much good stuff in here I want to say, but I don't care what I want to say. I care about what he wants to say. He came so we could live differently. That's really what I'm saying. faithful Jesus, faithful God. He came and displayed what the kingdom is like so we could walk in the kingdom and do the same. So, Jesus submitted to the prophecies that went before him. And then we have to consider the fact that every word that Jesus spoke is still a prophecy in the making for us. Still real. Every word he ever spoke. If you don't know what he said, get a Bible that has red words in the New Testament. It'll make it very easy for you. Because those words are still being spoken. I recently bought a Bible that's really cool because in the Old Testament, everything that is talking about Jesus in the Old Testament is highlighted in blue. Those words are still prophesying about him too. All we need is to know how to reach his heart and then to do it. So, see how that helps? The presence of God just floods. I believe that he wants to do what only he can do, and he wants to heal people today. This was supposed to be about healing. Well, Isaiah is about healing. The stripes on his back is for our healing, but it's for everything. Our anxiety, our conditions, our troubles. He's our healer. He's our healer. The atmosphere of his heart, that is it. When his heart is being magnified to you, and it is, then you need to just reach out and take it in. Take it in. Say, well, I don't know how to do that. Listen, it's called practicing the presence of God. You practice the presence of God. You determine, I don't know how to explain it. I'm probably not doing a very good job, but you don't move until you know he's there with you. You focus on the one thing. What if the only thing you focus on is the stripes on his back? If you can just focus on that, that's a sacrifice he paid. If you focus on the fight he had in the garden, he really didn't want to go to that cross. He knew what it was going to feel like. He had seen people crucified before and beaten. And he went, man, hey, Dad, is there another way? But you know what he did because of the love of you? He said, it's not about me. It's not about my will. I know why I'm here. Okay, Dad, it's about your will being done. And so he submitted every bit of his flesh to be beaten for your healing. Every bit of it. For every part of your anxiety, oh, he had to be on the cross and see all of his disciples run away except for John. Thank God for John. But his dad had to turn away so he could fully feel the weightiness of your sin. Just think about that. Hanging on the cross, sinless with our sin. Ponder that. What about all of his crazy disciples? What about how irritating they were? Ponder that. Misusing what had been entrusted. I want to call down fire from heaven to kill people. No, no, no. You can't do that. Although they could do it, they weren't supposed to do it. Training and training and loving and enduring. That's his love for us. So you sit and you have a thought, or maybe you think about, what has he already done for you? I don't think there's a person in here that he hasn't already done something for. Just think about that. When you think about him making himself real to you, then it changes things. Because you recognize his love has already reached you, and he'll reach you again and again and again. In the place of a broken heart, I don't care how much people say, I'm sorry. You still have a broken heart. In the face of loss, you still have loss. But when Jesus comes, there's a song that says, when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. That's what he came to do. He just shows up and he wipes away your tears and he heals your inner being. And then you may not even know it. You may walk away and just think you were just having time with God, and then you find out your body's healed or your heart is healed or your mind is changed, because he has a way of doing things that's unlike what man can do. Amen? So, in his presence, I hope your faith is being stirred. I hope you're thinking about his goodness and his kindness. I hope that this is making an indention inside of you. I pray that you cannot leave this place and not ponder him, and not continue to think, and not continue to go after him. I'm praying for that. I've been believing for that. I think the gifts of God, the things that he's called us to do, has to be on display. It has to be used, or else it starts drying up. And so I was thinking about all of the things I was thankful for. And you know what I'm thankful for the most is when I know my life has touched somebody else's. I'm not even thankful for what, I am thankful for everything that's happened to me because of Jesus, but I'm more thankful to know that my life is making a difference for somebody else. You know why? Because that's the way we're built. And so when we're helping somebody else, his name is glorified, and that's what he's trying to do. And so I was thinking about all the things that God has allowed me to be a part of, and there's a lot, and I could give you a list, and so what? It's my list. What's yours? What's your list of who you've changed? Whose life have you changed? How have you been the light? And are they still walking in the light? And if they're not walking in the light, have you gone after them and took your flashlight of God with you? Do you care? Do you keep caring? Do you keep seeking? And can you still receive? And so, I just don't know. What is the most important thing today for you? I always think it's to know him and the power of his love. So power is demonstration. So how many of you know that we don't have to have feelings in order for God to manifest himself, right? Do we have to feel it? I mean, I am feeling it, but we don't have to feel it. We just have to believe it. So, Farrell, come up here. So I am trying to utilize people's gifts more. We want to be activated, don't we? Now, I have a deal for you. This is the deal today. Let's make a deal. You can come up for anything that you have need of for prayer. And Farrell and I are going to pray for you. And I believe we can impart things to you as well, because the Bible's all about that. So, you know, we're not crazy. Read it for yourself. But whatever you receive, you got to go give it to somebody. That's the deal. So when God moves on your behalf, then you should want to multiply that out. Jesus taught his disciples by example, and then he said, okay, now you got to go do it. And so, but he didn't send them out without laying hands on them and empowering them with the same Holy Ghost. He didn't send them out alone. He sent them with wisdom and power and instructions. And so, I believe that there are people that need, there's somebody that needs everything. There's some people that just need one thing. There's some people that are worried about somebody else. There are some people that have financial problems. There are people here today that feel pain in their bodies. There are people here today that are in a little bit of confusion. Some of you are actually, I just feel somebody's mad. Have you ever been mad? Yeah. And you know that, okay, have righteous anger, but don't be mad. You can have righteous anger that comes up in your spirit about things that are going wrong, and you take care of it in the spirit realm. But don't be mad. Don't let anger, it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So, Farrell, do you have anything to say? One thing you can always count on, he's always honest. However, are you anointed, Farrell? Yeah. Yes, you are. See? And how do you know that? I'm a son. There you go. Oh my God, because I'm a son. And there we have it. Oh, okay, we'll do that. So I want John and Helen to come. And you can pray for people too.
I'll be in their line.
You just get back up there right now. Everybody wants to be in their line. Yeah. Stephen, I love you. Nice to see you, buddy. Listen, these are seasoned, missionary, amazing, holy people of God. If Jesus was here, he'd go, I can find no fault with them. And so I want to take advantage of that, don't you? They are just, they can, well, yeah, I don't know if they want to. They should have to climb up that. Do you want a chair to sit down while you pray?
No.
You're good. Listen, these people, they don't give in to pain, in case you've ever noticed, or being old either. And they keep prophesying long life into me, don't you? And so, now, so here's the deal. You come up and you get prayed for, and then you are released to pray for somebody here. You can pray for anybody in this place, but you have to also pray for somebody out there. Yesterday I went to CVS, and some lady got, she was trying to get from CVS into her car, and she couldn't do it. She just couldn't walk, and she had obviously something wrong with her knee, and I don't know what it was. And I'm like, I got to get out of the car now. I got to go pray for her. And so, you know, people are scared. They're like, what are you doing encroaching on my? And I go, listen, I see that you're in pain. I hate pain. I hate it. I've had pain. I've had pain in my legs, and I just would like to have the ability to pray for you. Would that be okay? And she's like, okay. And I go, in the name of Jesus. Oh, okay. Wise woman, right? And so I just stood there and prayed for her because I could. Because we know that he is the healer. Because we know that when we pray for somebody, he will manifest his love to them. His love will counteract the darkness. Sickness and disease come from the enemy, but Jesus has overcome it all. Amen? So whatever it is that you have need of today, then I want you to come up and get prayed for. And, okay, see, all I have to do is get him up here and then.
I just forgot that I had this morning, that if there's anybody here that has been having trouble with their left foot, any pain in their left foot or walking with their left foot, come to me because I have faith for that because the Lord talked to me about it this morning.
Awesome. I love that. That's called a word of knowledge. Okay. I'm like,